10 things that need to be in every sermon, but none of those are as good as trying to find someone who looks like they're hurting, speak with them, and remember you were there at one time, if not right now.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to Framework Leadership, a podcast about principles and ideas you can use today to take your leadership to the next level. I'm your host, Ken Engel, president of Southeastern University.
I'm your co-host, Michael Steiner, vice president for innovation.
And we are absolutely excited today to talk with Rick Bazette. Rick is the founder and lead pastor of New Life Church in Arkansas. He's one of the founding directors of the Association of Related Churches, ARC, and an organization dedicated to planting life-giving churches across the nation. And what a privilege to have you with us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks. This is great.
Been looking forward to this conversation. So I want to start out by talking a little bit about your calling in ministry. Okay. And you actually had dreams of, I think, to be a professional golfer.
And
tell us a little bit about that. And then what inspired you to start New Life Church and contribute to planting churches?
My goodness, yes. I was a professional golfer way back in the day. My handicap has crept up pretty high. Yes. The worst enemy of good golf is pastoring a church.
Yes, yes.
But I was in a golf tournament. I got assigned a contract to play on the Asian Tour.
And
the only way to get out of that contract is to be injured. And I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew
sure.
I was supposed to go to Bible school.
Wow.
Interesting enough, talking to you. And so I signed that contract, and I was in a tournament the next week, and I was leading that tournament. And the last day, my golf ball was up against the root.
Oh, wow.
And when I knew it could hurt me to hit the shot,
sure.
but my caddy, he said, you might be able to get away with it. And I thought, I think I can get this, advance this ball to the green. And when I hit the shot, it broke my wrist, it broke the club, and the club came over and swung, hit me in the head, and knocked me out.
Wow.
And that's how God speaks to me still to this day.
Yeah.
And so I didn't go to Asia, and 6 months later, I was in Bible school.
Oh, come on.
And that's
so
amazing.
Walk us through that moment. I mean, obviously, you're in a career, and obviously, God's opens this door for you, but navigating, okay, Bible school, church planning, you know, walk us through that story, and maybe some advice that for people who may be feeling that same kind of call right
Beautiful.
Now.
Yeah, it was intimidating. I didn't really want to be in ministry. Mm-hmm. I loved playing golf. I loved business as well, so I was hoping that maybe that would be my track forever. But I started a Bible study on the tour and with a lot of players that people know now. And I was enjoying the study and the teaching and the equipment, or the equipping of them. And so I started practicing much less, preparing for that even more. And so then I just had a desire to go to Bible school. And when I was in Bible school, it was so interesting. It's changed a lot through the years. Walking on this campus, I know this is not a Bible school, but I went to a college where it was a pure Bible school. They would teach the pastors not to be close to people, that you're the anointed one. You couldn't have any friends.
Interesting.
And so the whole time I was in debate with the deans, like, I can't have friends. No, ministry is lonely. Well, how do I build friendships?
Right.
And
relationships.
What if I'm having trouble?
You
just pray through it. So, powerful story. I graduated in 1988, and that year I got married. I graduated and went into ministry full time. And our first year of marriage was a real problem, but I didn't have anybody to tell. And so we would walk into a Bible study arguing the whole way and walk in, and people would say, we wish we had a marriage like you. And I would have my arm around my wife like, no, you don't. You don't want this marriage. And then one day my pastor asked me to speak to a very large 6,000 seats at Bethany. I was in Baton Rouge. And I was preparing the sermon and walked through the kitchen. And my wife, she looked at me and she said something that bothered me. And I said, Michelle, I'm frustrated. I'm trying to prepare a sermon. And I don't even know if our marriage is going to make it. I think you just need to be quiet, and I don't want this anymore. And she broke. And I went into my office to pray, to write a sermon, and I could hear her crying in the other room.
Wow.
And I went and I said, Michelle, what's going on? She said, who are you? She goes, when you were dating me, you were different than now. Are you being real when you're preaching and bragging about me? Or are you being real when you say you regret even marrying me? She said, I'm with you forever, but who are you? And I said, Michelle, I don't know, but I'm going to figure this out. And when I was preaching that sermon, a few days later, I stopped the whole sermon. And I said, Michelle, I'm going to be real with you right now in front of everybody. And I told everybody the story I just told you.
Yeah.
Except when I told you, it was 35 years ago.
Right.
It was 3 days after.
Right.
And I told him how I'd yelled at my wife, and I asked her to forgive me, and her mouth was wide open. Yeah. And it was in that moment that I felt a hand of God around me, like, this is my boy.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing something that I can work with. And so I learned in those early years that you can't be alone in ministry. No one can make it like that.
Yeah,
powerful story. And you also you lead Relate, and a coaching really association focused on helping lead pastors. How does Relate help pastors, and what's kind of the intentionality in what you lead them through and guide them through?
Great question. Yeah. My brother started that. I just help him anytime that we can. But what I have always done is help the ARC. We started the ARC, you know, 23 years ago. And the ARC really does just a few things. We give people ideas. We give them money. And we give them relationships. And so it's not a government group leading the people.
It's not like a denominational
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. No, we just give them ideas, we give them friendships, and we give them money.
Yeah.
Well, the relational side of it, somebody's got to help manage all that. And so that's sort of our DNA at our church. And there's a lot of churches like that in the ARC now. But originally, I just were trying to make sure, like Justin does this here at this school. So that's kind of my role, and I go around. I know the pastors, and I like coaching them, and I spend time with them. And you can tell a lot of pastors are lonely. They don't have one person they call a friend. They work way too many hours, and they don't know how to balance that, and their marriage could easily be in trouble. And so they want, they're craving it. They just don't know how to initiate it. Yeah. And that's what I like doing.
And this goes back, obviously, back to you know, your Bible school days where you talk, lot of people think that this is what ministry is, that has to be lonely. Walk us through a little bit about what you teach pastors in through this. How do you address that kind of myth, that lie, that this has to be a lonely thing, and how can they learn how to build relationships?
Well, you can't be transparent with everyone.
Right.
You can only be transparent with a few, but you have to be authentic with everyone. So I find that pastors are really good right now at being authentic, the way they write, the way they speak, the way they talk. But they're not transparent with a few, i.e. even me. I noticed over the last 3 years that I'd been through a lot. There were people I was in covenant relationships with who would no longer even return my phone calls.
Wow.
And you know how the church went through during the pandemic.
It
wasn't as much in Florida as other places,
but
the people who were loyal, they were rushing to leave the church, and people who were not in church were rushing to get in. And so someone who might have done my funeral 3 years ago, now they won't return my call, and it was painful.
Interesting,
And so I looked at Michelle. I said, babe, I've never been to counseling. I think I'm going to give it a shot. And she said, why? I said, because if nothing is wrong with me, then something is wrong with me. So I wanted someone who could understand pastoring, and I did some interviews, and I found a guy. His name is Randy Powell. And I met with him, and he looked at me, and he said, let me tell you something. You better ace. He said, I want to teach you about the principle of toes in the mud. And I said, what is that? He said, you're never going to slow down your pace, but if you don't know how to get your toes in the mud, you're going to die. And I said, describe that. He said, toes in the mud. Picture a 10-year-old kid. It's raining outside, and he can't go and play in the rain. His mom never lets him do that. But this day, she's not home, and the dad lets him go out, and it's raining, and there's mud, and kids are all around. He takes his shoes off, and he puts them in the mud, and he looks up at the rain like, this is the greatest moment. He said, so for you, what is toes in the mud for you? And I was surface level in my thought. I said, you know, playing golf. He goes, no, it's not. I said, yeah, it is. I love to play golf. He goes, that's not toes in the mud for you. He goes, if you're not going to try harder, then why am I your counselor? Let's go. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, okay, if you're playing golf with two guys who hate the church, or they're falling away from God, or they're in adultery, I know you want to be in that place, but is that toes in the mud for you? I said, no. He said, so what is toes in the mud? I said, okay, playing golf with one of my sons or my best friend. He goes, toes in the mud. What else? I said, family night, when our kids all get together, still my grandkids. He goes, okay, toes in the mud. I said, my wife and I like to go to an all-inclusive once a year, and when we pull up and they ask for my ID and I show them my passport and I know the next 7 days I'm there, it's toes in the mud. He goes, yeah. Great, we're on to something. And that's what I've been working with the pastors right now.
Wow.
They don't know where their toes are in the mud. They don't have a place. And I just met with a guy who he knows it's pickleball. And for someone else, it might just be solitude. I don't know, but you do need to know what it is because we're not going to slow down. Let's not kid ourselves.
No.
But if you know where to get, you know, some time back of rest with the Lord and with your family, that's toes in the mud.
How important is mentorship in our lives? Getting a mentor and who should we look for?
That's a great question. Well, I've never had anybody come to me and say, hey, I want to be your mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look around and find and ask. I think it's important that you ask people that you want to learn from if they could sit down with you. I did this. I divided it into different sectors. As a pastor, if I wanted to someone to mentor me who understood multi-site, then I had a pastor for that. If I had a friend who I needed a mentor, might have been a member of our church, and they were great with their kids, and they knew how to keep a busy schedule but have quality time with their kids and even quantity time, then that's who my mentor was during that season. I remember there was a time where I was having trouble with one of my kids, and this other man had trouble with one of his kids and walked through that, so I asked him to mentor me. I think it's very important that you look around where you're weak, where you're hurting, and try to find a mentor that helps you in that season. It may not be, someone used this term, divine flow, which means when you're around that person, you just can really sense that you connect with them.
Yeah.
It may not be for a lifetime, but it might be for that particular season of your life.
Yeah. No, that's so good. I mean, I remember coming here. I never had been a president, and I'm thinking, what a task. And so I looked for a president that was at a university where they had taken it from similar to where we were.
Beautiful.
And that was John Wallace, who was president of Azusa. And I called him and I said, I I'm in the deep end, and I need somebody that I can talk with and can help me. And he literally would come here and spend time with me here, and I'd go with him. But you're so, you know, it's so true. Find someone that is where you want to go. And so that's so powerful.
Right.
And I love what you're doing in that way.
And what they get to do is they help you understand the voice of God in your life. I mean,
that's
they
right.
help you see it. And, you know, I think about the earlier comment you made about toes in the mud, right, to people, what actually brings you joy. And we live in this day and age where I feel like people's, I was literally talking to my wife about this earlier this week, our wanters, our ability to want something and desire is so numb from advertising, from consumerism, from
that's
all
right.
this different stuff. People don't even know what they want anymore. They can't discern it because it's so much that has been like pushed on,
that's
and scrolling all the. And so having that mentor to help them ask that question, like you said, and in that point it was the counselor of like, what do you actually want? No, let's go deeper. What does wanting actually look
that
like?
Looks so good.
Is so powerful. And so tell us a little bit about more how you're helping these pastors untangle that. What do these conversations look like? What are some of the insights you've had with these pastors as they're really learning to listen to themselves again and listen to God?
Well, they're extremely lonely and they're traveling through life at a high rate of speed. Very hard to develop any enduring relationship when you're moving at a high rate of speed. But they're lonely. And so you just sit down with them and you just ask them the core questions. I mean, how's it going at home? What are you looking at? What are some things that you're doing you feel like that you need to settle with the Lord? Last question, like, Wesley, did you just lie to me? And just kind of build a relationship that that is asking specific questions, and then you remember that, and you get back with them, and I think that's what I'm teaching pastors to do.
What's the number one challenge you're seeing right now out there that's hitting ministry leaders?
I think it's very sad that a lot of pastors feel like they're failing because their church is not as large as someone else, or a businessman is discouraged that his business is not doing well, and then they get shame, a little bit of shame related to that, and so this is what I'm finding is the common trend is that they're discouraged and they hide out because all their other friends are having what they think is success. Mm. They don't sense that they're hitting the marks that they should hit, and so they just stop going to events. They stay at home a lot more, and they become more isolated, and that's just not. The original intent design of the church was for us to be in relationships with God, yes, but also in relationships with one another. Early church in the book of Acts, second chapter, it said they broke bread together daily, and God added to them daily those who were being saved. But they were doing it with sincere hearts, glad and sincere hearts. Mm. And I think that we've lost a lot of our gladness, joy, and we're not being transparent and real. We just are alone. Yeah. There's a bayou in Louisiana called Bayou Self. And that's where a lot of people live.
That's so good. Before we move into the fire round, I want to ask you, how do you envision the future of church leadership? What advice do you give to emerging leaders stepping in?
I find that it's really hard to find staff right now. You can see it in every sector of the world. Church is the same way. And I was just talking to a pastor just a few hours ago on how a lot of the best people in our cities are successful, and they don't have time to quit what they're doing. They don't have the financial resources to be on staff at a church. So I find what churches are doing, it's really helping right now, is instead of asking that person to quit what you're doing over there and come and join us, where they can't do it. They can't they cannot reach the financial goals of working at a church, $80,000 when they're making $800,000.
Right.
So what churches are doing now is they're commissioning those people to work at the church without being paid. And 15 hours or more where they're working. And so you just commission them. You get, you know, you do a profile on what they're good at, and it might be with children, it might be with speaking, it might be with leading, it might be with small groups, and you just raise them up to be a leader there. I think it's really helping pastors out right now.
Wow. Love that. Love that. Well, we're going to move into our fire round, ask three quick questions so we can just grab some practical and applicable pieces of advice for all of our listeners today. So real quick, and just what comes to the top of your mind. Yeah. So Michael, fire the first one away.
So what do pastors need to be thinking about when they're preaching the gospel in this day and age to this generation?
I think if you're going to be a great communicator, you need to, it's a good idea to look around the room and try to find someone who looks like they're hurting. Hmm. If you're going to prepare a sermon and you have compassion in it, it's going to be a much better sermon. I teach there's 10 things that need to be in every sermon, but none of those are as good as trying to find someone who looks like they're hurting, speak with them, and remember you were there at one time, if not right now.
Absolutely.
How do you, here's question two, how do you live out, as a ministry leader, live out confidence with humility?
Wow. Well, I don't think humility is thinking less about yourself. Yeah. I think it's thinking more about others. And so I believe that a believer who's strong in Christ has a lot of confidence, but it's different. If I could explain that in a little bit more than 30 seconds, I don't understand why God picked me. I don't really think I was a great pick to do what I'm doing. I bet there's a measure of that inside of you and you as well.
Yeah.
But what I do know and what gives me confidence is that I do know he picked me. I don't necessarily understand why. It seemed like a bad pick.
Yeah.
But the confidence comes from, but I know he picked me.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of people need to remember that original call that they
had.
That's
good.
Epic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wow.
Yeah, last question for us you know, as we wrap this up together is, if there's one skill you would tell a young leader to develop right now to focus on, what would that be?
Wow. Great question. I think sometimes a real pastor, you can tell who they are by what they're focused on. Mm. A pastor, the Bible says, if you have 99 and one is broken down, you're thinking about the one.
Mm.
I think as you get involved in the grind of ministry, it's easier to think about the 99 instead of the one. And I think if they could reset themselves and be stronger and stay strong, if they remember the value of every soul, especially the one that's moving away, spend the extra time trying to get them back into the flock.
Absolutely.
And you'll never regret it.
Love it.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Rick, what a privilege to have you on as a guest today.
Great to be here.
Thank you for taking time.
Love your school, your leadership. Thank you for all that you do.
Appreciate that very much. If you want to stay up to date with Rick, you can follow him on Facebook and Instagram at Rick Bizet and at X at Rick_Bizet.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Framework Leadership. If you're watching on YouTube right now, now would be a great time to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button so you can get more leadership content right into your YouTube feed. You can also check us out on Instagram at Kent_Engel, at Dr. Michael Steiner, or on Twitter and YouTube at Kent Engel. And hey, if you love great email newsletters, and I know that I do, you want to check out the Framework Leadership newsletter. Every single Friday drops in great tips to be a better leader, resources, thoughts right into your inbox. Check it out. You can sign up at kentengel.com. Make sure you hop onto there. Thank you so much for listening to Framework Leadership.
Take care, everybody.